All right, good morning again. All right, let's pray for God to bless our study. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this morning that we can gather together to give our praise to you, to read our ancient models, the saints, their life experience through the Psalms, to pray and ask for your blessing to us, and now it's time to receive your instruction. We pray that you open our mind, you cleanse our heart, remove the weariness, and remove the worries, remove our sins and the effects of the sins, and cleanse. As Christ always said, he will wash our feet, since we have taken a bath by taking Jesus as our Lord. But we do walk in the world, and we do have contaminations. Jesus will always wash our feet as long as we let him. So, Lord, wash us, cleanse us, and now make us clean so we can be close to you and you can be one with us. Enjoy, let Holy Spirit enjoy the dwelling in us. Make our body, our life, your home, and fill us with the Holy Spirit and inscribe in our mind your word. Let us hide it so that we can walk by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are studying John chapter 15, 18 to 16, 4. This passage will cross over the chapter border because the chapter division was not inspired. All right. Oh, just found it out. You know, the chapter division of the Bible was done by a guy named Stephanos. He was a French in the 1700s AD. Okay, so it's about 500 years ago. Before then, people never used chapter or verse. Stephanos, he was French. This is his Greek name. And he divided. Most of the times, he is reasonable. He divides at a division of meaning. A few times, he is not. And this is one of those. Okay, that's why we cross over the chapter border. Then we are in the middle of the Upper Room Discourse, the URD, a warning of hardship. Jesus predicted the world's rejection. And the pretext of today is in last week's sermon. And it talks about the union in Christ through love. The church is a community of love. It is an extended community from God. God is a community of three persons bonded by love. Okay? So God is one God with three persons. Okay? Not three gods, not one person. Okay? So there's no logical conflict. Okay? If people say there's one God, both one God and three gods, well, that's conflict. Or one person and three persons, that's conflict. But one God, three persons, is not a conflict. God is one, but there are three persons. They are bonded by love, like a family. And believers were a conquered people by God from Satan. What were we? We were furnitures in the house of the strong man, Satan. What did Jesus do to Satan? Bound him. You know, he's a cowboy. Bound the feet of the cow. Quickly. And then he robbed us from that furniture. From that household. So we are the conquered people. We are Jesus' loots and what do you call them? The spoils. Okay, the loot and spoil. Okay, and therefore, who do we belong? Jesus. As people, what are we called in the ancient law system, law of war? What are the conquered people? They are slaves. Okay, so we were in the beginning. In relationship to God, the Christians are slaves of God. We were slaves of Satan. Now we are slaves of God. However, we did not stay there. God sovereignly elevated us to the status of friends of God. Okay? Now that's a grace. He doesn't have to, but he did it because of his nature. He is love. He elevated us to a higher status. Now friends can sit down and eat together. There's a certain equality in there. However, there's also an inequality. You remember, like Rome, when Rome becomes friends with other nations, okay, if they're not conquered people, okay, they are friends. However, friends are equal. They take care of each other. But most of the time, it means that the other nations submit to the authority of Rome, and they receive protection of Rome, right? So how do they submit? By giving a tribute, okay? And what do they receive? Protection from invasions, defense, okay? And that's how we are with God, as friends of God. We got to remember there is inherent inequality between God and man. God is a creator. He is eternal. We are the creatures. We are temporal. We have become everlasting, but we are never eternal, okay? And we have been elevated, but we are actually still there's in unequal. We have been given grace. So, well, how do we keep the friendship? By submitting to his authority, okay? I know there's a moth here. Seems to attract most of our eyesights, but focus on the word, okay? And the believers, they were elevated to the status of friends of God, but we have to do something to maintain that friendship. Okay, what should we do? We are invited to join God's community of love, but we must love God and love one another to maintain the friendship with God. Okay, most people today would say, oh, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. With whom? Well, with God, personal. Yeah, is that true? Yes. Is that all? No. Okay, so you got to love God. Yeah, but you also need to love the community of Christians. You have to do both to maintain your status as a friend of God. So if your heart has a grudge, a hatred, a unforgiveness to other Christians, what about your relationship to God? It's estranged, right? It's not as close as it could be. Okay, so that's why we do this communion, because we know before we do communion, we need to confess our sins. If you don't confess, you will be given something not good. So it's kind of a threat, but it's real, and it's actually a help for us to cleanse our life periodically so we can keep... It's like Jesus washing our feet again. Understand? Every time we do communion, it's like disciples go back to the Last Supper. Let Jesus washing our feet again. We walk in the world like the disciples do. We have taken a bath. We are clean. We're not like Judas who didn't take that bath. Okay? We were clean, but our feet do get dirty. We need this periodic washing. Okay? And we need to both love God and love one another. So forgiveness is the beginning of that. And then love means the actual active to pursue, to give, and to have concern, and to help. Okay, and of course, when you have need, you also share. You let others know your need and let them pray for you at least. And rather than hiding from everybody, you know, and there is something wrong in a modern church culture. You know, in this church town, and I'm a pastor, I'm kind of elevated to a pedestal. Everybody respects a pastor. But in a sense, pastors are isolated and they have no friends. Do you feel that? I don't know if you haven't been a friend, but if you haven't been a pastor, but you know, in a sense, you can see what I mean. Because people, they regard you as a holy man. So how are you? Great. You know, life, okay, great. Do you have any need? No. You know. So they don't share with you their real life. When that happens, I have no friend. Okay? And modern people, they have a pride they don't want to put down. They want to heal themselves before they see the doctor. You know, they don't do that medically, but spiritually they do that. Okay? When they have an issue, rather than coming to the great physician, they say, let me get that right before I go back to church. You know, that's foolish. Okay? And that's impractical, because you can't heal yourself. Spiritual problem. You get to go through Christ. Okay? So, we must maintain both the dimensions, loving God and love others, to maintain the friendship with God. And we are expected to do God's work as His extension and alter ego. So if Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a family, now it's been extended to the church. So if we are joined together by love, we are also joined together by mission. So we are supposed to do His work. We are left here as the body of Christ. The head is in heaven, the body is on the earth. So we do what the head tells us to do. And when we do that, what happens to our prayer life? Whatever we ask will be answered favorably. Isn't that great promise? Okay. This takes some faith, takes some adjustment for us to adapt to, but it's a true promise. You have to believe it and make adjustment and live by it. You're going to see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You're going to see God's hand acting in your life, changing lives, and then in that sense you see God as closely as you can in this dispensation. Okay. So that's the pretext. The pretext is that the church is bonded together by love. However, now we are entering the next passage. It's John 15, 18 to 21a. I put the text on the screen because it has a chiastic structure. You know, the word chiastic comes from the Greek word chi, which is the Latin Greek letter chi, which is Latin letter X. Okay? Do you see an X, half of an X here? Right? There's a symmetry, in a sense. Okay, so the first outer level are talking about the same thing, the middle level and the center level. Some people divide into five levels, but say with the same center. Okay, so the text reads like this: if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. Okay. Now the outer level, it has hated me before it hated you. And the other says, they will do to you for my name's sake. Are they talking about the same thing? Yeah, the world's hatred of the Christians is not really because we have done something wrong, or we are not nice, or something like that. Really, it's because their hatred of Christ. Why does the world hate Christ? Because Christ came here and died for them. And in dying for them, he has actually told them who people really are. They are fallen. They are sinful. They are going to hell. They can't save themselves. They need Jesus. Okay? But what do humans like to hear? What do their ears love to hear? We are good. We can save ourselves. We're not going to hell. We don't deserve it. God wouldn't do that. If there is a God, if he does that, he's not good God, or he's not a powerful God to defeat evil. So either way, we don't believe such a God. So the world doesn't like to be accused of being sinful. Simple. Okay. So Christ, in love, dying for the world, has in effect offended the world. That they are accused of being sinful. That they need Christ. Therefore, they hate Christ. And when they hate Christ, whatever happened to the head, what about to the body? Okay? When Adam was the head of the world, Adam sinned. What happened to the world? God cursed. Okay? David was the head of Israel. When David counted the numbers, he did something wrong against God's will. Well, what happened to Israel? He received the plague. Alright? So Jesus is head of the church. Well, Jesus is hated. What happened to the church? We got hated. Okay? So, that's a fact. But they hate me. When people reject Christians, should we be really put down and saying, oh, what have I done wrong? You know, when people say, you Christians, weirdos, you know, then should we change to fit their mold? No, we shouldn't. You know, they hate us. It's not because we have done anything wrong. It's really because they did not like Christ. Okay? And at the middle level, it says, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Okay? So, again, because of the link of the church with Christ and not with the world. Okay? The outer level says we are linked with Christ. This level says we're not linked with the world. We're not their own. And therefore, if they persecute me, they will persecute you. If they keep my word, they will keep your words too. So again, it's talking about we are alienated from the world because we are united with Christ. Okay? And the center says, remember the word I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. This is a quotation from earlier in this book. And a slave is no greater than his master. Again, it's the head, the body receives what the head receives. Okay? If the master is rejected, if the master of the household is rejected, what about his whole household, his children and his servants? They're all rejected. Okay? So, because Christ was rejected. So, in a sense, this is to comfort us. You know, don't, when you feel you really put down, don't be too dejected. This is not because of us, it's because of Christ. Okay? Christ has suffered worse than us. Right? He actually suffered worse for us. Okay? Because of this, be encouraged. That's the meaning of this chiastic structure that define this passage. Okay, and what we have learned from here is that the church unites by two pressures. One is a pressure from within, the bonded, the bond of love. Okay, that binds us together. But another, sometimes it helps, is a pressure from without. If the world hates the church very much, what does it do to the church? If the world persecutes the church, what does that do? Does it make church better or worse? They actually become better. Okay, yeah. The church being of a dual nature, we have a divine nature created in the image of Christ, which does not sin, but we have an old self, which is in our self, flesh, and it's fleshly, and it easily follow the world and Satan. So we have a dual nature. We always in this struggle, who is the boss in our lives. Okay. So when this world exhibits hatred and hostility, actually helps the church to keep purity. Okay. And when the world is friendly, the church doesn't really play well. Okay, compare the church in, let's say, the hostile countries, like in the Muslim countries these days, or in China. Okay, their church tend to be more like the early church in first century. They are more united in spirit, less in fight, and they have more of unity. They recognize their difference, but they unite nonetheless because they have a enemy from outside. It kind of pushed them together. In America, we still have the heritage, thank God, from this Reformation, which the best result Reformation was in England. It created a system that puts the government in the cage, it puts the people in power, And it is friendly to Christians in general. And in America, our founding fathers are mostly Christians. I think most of them are actually Christians. There are only three people you can tell they said some deist thing, but of the signers, 50 or so signers, only three said some deist things, but they have done things who are very Christian. You know, Benjamin Franklin asked the Congress, to pray. When they couldn't reach a conclusion, he asked them to pray. If you are really a deist, you don't pray, because God does not interfere in the world, in history, right? When you pray, you're not deist, you're a Christian. Okay? Who's that, the third president? Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson. He may have said some deist things. You know, he said, I don't think the miracles, you know, maybe I should cut it out and see what the Bible looked like. He never produced such a Bible. Today's humanist society produced such a Bible. You can buy it on market. He never produced such a Bible. He just said something like that. However, he conducted Christian service in the Congress. Directed it. Okay, not only allowed it. So, you know, they're inconsistent. But anyway, the world in this country is still generally friendly to Christians. So what have the church become? We become worldly. Okay. What is the divorce rate today in the church compared to the world? It's about the same. Actually, the more conservative, you know, in the South, the higher the divorce rate. Slightly higher. Well, probably because in the more liberal area in the North, they just don't get married. You know. But, you know, it's not something you can be glorified. Okay. We have become very worldly. Okay. We want to be successful. We spend all we earn and more than we earn. We don't tithe. The church, very few people tithe. Among universal church, I'm not saying this body, but universal church, very few people tithe. When they tithe, they brag, I tithe. You never get glory in heaven for tithing. Because that's expected. That you get glory for giving beyond expectation. You don't get glory for going to church. You get glory for going to church maybe in Iran, but not in America. Okay. And we have, you know, the education system dumbed down our children too. And there are some people who can do homeschooling, there are some people who cannot. So it's difficult to live as Christians in a friendly environment. The most friendly environment was the Middle Ages, when the church held the sway of the state. And guess what? The church has fleshly problem. It corrupts. When it has power, it misuses power. And now all the evils in the Middle Ages for 1,000 years are attributed to the Catholic Church, because they were in power. They were the head. Okay? So, it is the world, when they hate the Christians, it's getting more these days. I pray that we learn, we become more united, we forget our minor differences, we face our major enemies these days, which are secularism and Islam. Okay? And forget about the sectarians. Within the denominations, you know, the minor, really minor differences, theological schools, positions, you know, unite and love one another, forgive despite the difference. Paul and Peter, they had differences. They actually shouted something to each other. I don't know about the tones, but sounds like Paul said something very unfriendly to Peter. You hypocrite, you know. But did they reconcile and love one another and serve God together? They did. Okay? We should do the same thing these days. So if you have any grudge to people who, okay, recently who had a disagreement and left the church, what should you do to them? Should you hold a grudge or should you pray for forgiveness for having that and then pray to bless them, which is the right command from God? The latter. Okay. Not for them to come back. Pray to bless them. We should even bless the enemies. What about our brothers? Right? When you can do that, Christ's life reigns in you. Okay? And He likes to be at home in you. Okay? And the world hatred of Christians is due to their hatred of Christ. Because Christians were chosen out of the world to be His own people, in 13:1, Jesus says, having decided to love those who were His, who are in the world, He decided to love them to the end. So we are His, but we just happen to be in the world now. But He decided to love us to the end by giving to His life. We are His people. He chose us out of the world. Because the world's hatred of the Christian is because of that, and also because of the world's ignorance of God. Okay, and the body will receive what the head receives. Okay, and the world loves its own. The world, what is the world? The word in Greek is cosmos. Okay? The word can have three meanings, to which God has three feelings. If cosmos is meant for the universe, God is neutral to that. He doesn't like it or hate it. He created the whole universe for the purpose of this earth, that humans may live on this earth. It's a life-sustaining environment. Believe in the word. He created everything for this earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it's on this earth God created mankind. And for mankind, God sent His only begotten Son to love and to die. Jesus did not come to die for the aliens, the little green people. No such thing. Okay, so we are unique and uniquely blessed. Okay, so for that universe, that cosmos, as a material universe, God has no feelings, either good or bad. He did it for sustaining life here. But if cosmos means for God so loved the world, cosmos, for whom He gave His only begotten Son, okay, that means the people who loved in the world. To those God loves, okay, so much so that He gave His Son, okay, infinite value to Him. It's like giving His own life, like Abraham giving His own son. It's His life, okay. So, but if the world means the worldly system, which is the kingdom of Satan united by sin, if that's the case, then God hates it. Okay, God has a feeling, negative feeling for that. The world is a system of worldview without God. Okay, a worldview is a system that covers religion, philosophy, politics, economics, and culture. The world covers all of those areas. In every area, the world is actually pretty diverse. How diverse is the world religion? Well, you have Taoist in China, Shintoism in Japan, Buddhism in Southeastern Asia, and Hinduism in India, and Zoroastrianism in Iran, Islam in the Middle East, and animism in Africa, and shamanism in South America. It's so diverse. However, they have one thing united. They are all without God. So they may disagree with one another, but they unite together when it deals with God. They are all against God. Okay, and the world is a philosophy of life. The worldview is what you believe. The philosophy of life is how you practice. Okay, the worldview is a world is a philosophy of life united on the opposition to the alien divine value system. Okay, so they may differ, but they unite together against the divine value system. So if you are the world or not depends on your value system. If you take the divine value system, you're not of the world. If you take the worldly system, you are actually of the world. Okay, that's the definition. It's the value system. In the divine value system, sovereignty is over fairness. Because there is an inherent inequality. God is different from creation. God is superior. He's eternal. He is infinite. The creation is finite, temporal, and lower, and less, and not holy. God is holy, and the world is sinful. There's an inherent difference, inequality. Okay? What did Satan say? I want to arise over the clouds. I want to sit on the high mountains. I want to be equal with the Most High. The wanting of absolute equality is the fall of Lucifer to become Satan. That idea of absolute equality is from hell. Okay? So, if you really believe in God, you must let God be God. Let him be sovereign. Otherwise, you're not really believing this true sovereign God. Okay, because God is sovereign. Okay, so in choosing Israel out of the nations, is that because that God foresaw Israel will believe? Or despite God's foresight that Israel would not believe? Right? Israel still does not believe. Despite so, God chose Israel. So is the election because of foresight or just because of his sovereignty? His sovereignty. Does God choose the church by other reason? Not likely. Okay. And how about talents, gifts? God creates everybody to be different. Everybody has a different talent. Everybody should use it and be rewarded for it. However, he should use that to bless others. Okay. What about the worldly system? Do we want to reward the excellent? Or do we want to keep everybody equal? That's the worldly system. You see, that's why the world is anti-Israel, anti-church, and anti-capitalism. It's from the same reason. We want to be absolute equal, and that idea came from Satan. Okay. And how about in divine value system on how to learn? There are three ways of learning. Faith is the highest, reason is the middle, and experience is the lowest. Animals learn by experience. Whatever it doesn't see or smell or touch is not real to them. Humans can reason. Christians have faith. Okay? There are three beings, animals, humans, and Christians. We are different from the rest of humans. We are a new creature. Okay? We should think and act differently. We should start from faith, then reason out what should we do, then do, live by it. That's our way of thinking. The world, humans, we want to reason. Maybe, you know, by faith, actually evolution is a faith. You know, it cannot be tested. But maybe it's by experience. Okay? The world went through four stages of learning. The classical time was the Greek time. They believe in reason. They want to seek for something absolute, true or good to believe in. What the Christians founded. So Christians started this Christian worldview. We believe, we reason, and we live. Okay? But the modern people say no. Because in the Middle Ages, Catholic Church did imperfect life. Okay? That imperfection caused them to carry all the sins of the world. So they did evil. All right. So they did. But because of that, their faith is wrong. Totally wrong. So we reject the faith. Let's just believe in reason. So what's modernity? We exalt reason. When you have reason as the highest, as enlightenment. That's why the enlightenment, you know what enlightenment means? Coming to light. We bring light to. What is the light? The light is going back to the ancient Rome and the ancient Greece, which is pagan. They want to call the whole Middle Age, the Christian era, Dark Age. Okay, so is the Christian era really Dark Age? No. It's only those who came after them who call themselves the light, who call the people before darkness. Okay, that's very, very arrogant. So when people say the Middle Age is Age of Darkness, okay, and you tell them they're wrong. Okay. It's not darkness. It's actually an age of the church bringing light to a world of darkness. The church being imperfect and it held power, that's why it did wrongs, and they are attributed with all the evil of the world, which is really not the church's fault. It's humanity's fault. Okay. So now modern people have replaced the Christian worldview with a new worldview that has an explanation of the beginning by evolution and the end, communism. And the system that they proposed is called socialism. And there are two examples. National socialism, Nazi national socialism, or international socialism, aka communism. Okay. National socialism was practiced in Germany. Okay. And it failed quickly. International socialism was practiced in Soviet Union. Okay. It failed in 1990. In 1990, the world entered the new age. Modernism ended. We entered postmodernism. Okay. Because modern people say we rejected faith because that's Christian. We cannot prove it's wrong. We just don't like it. Now we exalted reason. It did not bring enlightenment and peace. It brought disaster. So let's reject that too. So there is no absolute truth. We only believe in what we can experience. That's postmodernism. That's people of today. It reflects in the church, in those who exalt experience, reflects in the world too. Okay. And when you reduce to learn by experience alone, what are you now? Instead of Christians, based on faith, humans, based on reason, what are you now? Animals. Okay. And we are back to basic instincts. Okay. And that's really a shame. But that's the age we live in now. Okay. And the world in divine system, we believe that homosexuality and abortion are great sins because they are not the way God created. They are violating the highest social virtue, which is respect of life. However, the world will say, no, those are our basic human rights. And smoking cigarettes and drinking soda are great sins. So you always find something to fight with, but not the major one, always the minor ones, which may or may not be sin, you know. So this is what we are. There is a hostile world. They are against Christ. They're against the divine value system. So it's up to us to choose which system we identify. And Jesus said, I chose you out of the world. Okay? And we already read in 13:1, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And we have read last time, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. We explained by the local context, it seems to be the election for working as Christ's extension or alter ego, because it's to bear fruit. That's the local context. But now in a greater context, it says, I chose you out of the world. So what is this for? Is this for work or for salvation? This is for salvation. So it's also for becoming God's people. In both cases, We did not choose Christ. Christ chose us. It is explicit in the Bible. You have to do great gymnastics to avoid that. And the hatred of the church is because the world's hatred of God, not only of Christ, but also God. You see, there's one family, God, Christ, and the church. If they hate the church, they hate Christ. They hate Christ because they hate God. Okay, we said in 21b, it's because they do not know the one who sent me. Okay, and again, a chiastic structure, coupled with verse 25. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in the law, they hated me without a cause. That's a similar thing. Verse 22 says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned, but now they have no excuse for their sin. And that's similar to verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. And the center of this passage is, he who hates me hates my Father also. Okay, we see? Chiastic structure helps us to find the center meaning. And what we learn from this passage is that knowing the Son is the way to know the Father. If people reject the Son, it's due to the ignorance of the Father. They don't know the Father. Yeah. And the Jewish people at Jesus' time, did they know God? Well, they know about God. They did not know God personally. Okay? If he had known, they would have known, recognized Christ. Okay? They didn't. That's why they rejected Christ. So, hating the Son will result in hating the Father. If you hate Jesus, you don't know, because you don't know the Father, you are hating the Father. Why would the Jewish people hate God who chose them as a chosen people? It's because of pride, I tell you. The world hates Christians because Christ comes here and tells them that they are sinful. They need a Savior. And the Jewish people, they hated God the Father because God used to have Israel as a channel of blessing to the world. Those who bless Jews will be blessed. Those who persecute the Jews will be persecuted by God. Okay? But because the Jews, they alienate themselves from God, therefore they are not anymore the fitting channel of blessing, so God replaced them with Christ, the one true Israelite, and through whom all nations will be blessed. And when somebody who had an office, honorable office, and you tell them you're not qualified anymore, you have been replaced, what do you think? They'll hate it. And hate whom? The one who replaced them and made a judgment on them. That's God. Okay. So that's why they hated the Son, and because they hate the Father. And rejecting Jesus after hearing his teaching and seeing his works, including the signs and miracles, made the sin without excuse. He said, if they have not seen, they would not have the sin. That does not mean that they are not sinful. It just means the sin of having been revealed the best way and still rejected would not be imparted on them. Okay. Jesus coming to reveal God as God's spit image, this is the best revelation one can have. Okay, he's better than prophets before. Okay, and Jesus using the power of the Holy Spirit to do miracles is the best of the best. If they still call those miracles by the power of Beelzebub, what's that sin called? The unforgivable sin. So the real unforgivable sin is rejection of Jesus as the Son of God, as the Savior of man. And when Jesus used the best vehicle tool he could use, miracles, and when people still reject it, there's nothing can be done. That's why it's unforgivable. Okay? So today, when there are some people who say you've committed unforgivable sin, when you question the source of their miracle or their gift, and they say you committed unforgivable sin, you say, well, let's look at the context. What does unforgivable sin mean? It means rejecting Christ by rejecting his last resort of revelation, the miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. that there is no other unforgivable sin except the rejection of Christ today. Okay. And let's see. Their law, they are doing this because what they are fulfilling what's written in their law. Their law means their scripture. Okay. In the Bible, or in the Jewish tradition, the first part represents the whole. The law, the prophets, the writings is the whole Tanakh, okay, the Old Testament. So, therefore, when they say the law, it means the scripture. Like Jesus says, he told them everything that's prophesied about him in the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. What is Psalms? Psalms is the first book of the writings that represent the whole thing. Okay, Bereshit, in the beginning, it's the name of the whole book of Genesis, because it's the first two letters, two words of the book. So when Jesus, their law means their scripture, and they have written somewhere in the Psalms saying they hated me without reason. That means sinners cannot think. That's called total depravity. Okay, every faculty of humankind, our mind, which is the way to reason, our heart, our feelings, our conscience, our ability to detect good and evil, our will, our ability to make right decisions, and our strength, our ability to follow up what we decide to do. All of them have been corrupted. Not one is left intact. Therefore, we cannot save ourselves. Okay, humans cannot think, even though thinking is something distinctively human, making us higher than the animals, but sinners cannot think right. We need to be regenerated so we have the right faith before we can reason right, then we can do it right. Okay. Now, here there's a two passage I didn't put in the screen, verse 26-27. It says that when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. And you will bear witness also, because you have been with me from the beginning. Okay. The helper is the paraclete. Para is a long parallel, or for the case, cause of. And kletos comes from calling, klereo, is a calling. So Christ sent the second counselor. He speaks for our case. In other words, he's our second advocate, our second attorney. Okay, we have two of the best attorneys in the world for our defense in God's court. That's why we get pardoned. Okay, and not because of denial of our sins, but because one of the attorneys took our sins on himself. Okay, and Christ said, "I will send the Holy Spirit." So the Holy Spirit is sent by Christ, the Son, but He will proceed from the Father. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is also from the Father. Therefore, the Nicene Creed, the original version in Constantinople, it says, "Proceed from the Father," but the Western extension said, "And the Son, Filioque," and the Son. This caused the East and West to divide. Partly because the Eastern Church said you should not make a change to a historical document without informing the whole church. You kind of disrespected us. It does not necessarily mean it's wrong. It's just it's false. Not mean that it's false, but it's just the wrong thing to do. Okay. But anyway, the Holy Spirit will come and be a witness for Christ. His work will be more than that. We're going to see later next time. Okay. He will become a prosecutor of the world too. But he will witness for Christ through whom? Through the people that he dwell in, the church. So double witness for Christ after Christ is gone. The work of witnessing for himself did not stop. It will be carried on by the Holy Spirit through the church. Double witness. We should be witness for Christ. Finally, there is a warning as a holding up. I put this on the screen too. There's again a chiastic structure. These things I've spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I have spoken to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. Again, chiastic, the center is that everyone who kills you will think that he's offering service to God. So, I have spoken this so that you may be kept from stumbling. That means we will not be too surprised. Okay, so we'll be prepared. Expect to be rejected by the world system. If you are welcomed, think about something you have not done. Maybe witnessing for Christ. Okay? And you will be made outcast of synagogue. This will become reality for the disciples of Christ. And this book was written probably around the 70s, right before. That's what I believe. Most people believe that it's written in the 90s. But in the 90s, the Jewish Sanhedrin, it was destroyed in 70 when the temple was destroyed. And it used to be half Sadducee, half Pharisees. But when it's reformed, the Sadducees are all gone. It's all Pharisees. Okay? And they made all synagogues recite one thing. It's called Birkat Haminim, the curse of the heretic. Okay? And it says, if anyone here who believes in the Nazarene, he will be cursed, and so on, and so on. So if anyone who does not say it aloud, who stops saying, he will be recognized as a Nazarene, a Jewish Christian, and he will be kicked out of synagogue. That's the division between the Judaism and Christianity, as when the Jews killed the Jewish Christian, kicked the Jewish Christians out of the synagogue. That's when these two departed, around the turn of the first century. And think that he is offering service of God. Well, another good example, Paul before conversion, what was he doing? Binding the Christians, sending them to Sanhedrin, and killing them. So he thought he was serving God. Misled. Okay. All right. What do we learn from this part passage? Well, first of all, receive the fact that we are a different creature. There are animals, there are humans, and there are Christians. We are different level of being. Okay? Therefore, have a different value system. The world may value things differently, different priority. We have our own priorities. And what system you choose shows which realm you belong to. You may belong to this system and still live by that, and that just means you do not have a testimony. Okay? You do not have a proof that you belong to this system, God's system. Okay? Recognize that Jesus bore worse treatment for us. We will be treated badly, but Jesus was treated worse. However, he was treated for us. Therefore, we always have his Holy Spirit in us. And we always have a hope of victory in Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can defeat sin in our own lives. And we can hold up each other in the church. And we can be preserved despite the hostility of the world. So for that, we need to be thankful. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us this wonderful passage. It's a serious warning and a reminder. Father, we thank you for reminding us that we are a different creature. We are a different level of being. We have been chosen from the foundation of the world, and we have been realized as Christ's people by coming to faith in him and having the Holy Spirit living in us. We pray that you continue your process of transforming us from cats to dogs. Turn our face from facing the world due to fear to face God due to love. And during this process, make us joyful. And let us recognize that we are different in the world. And even though we are treated badly, we still will love and bless others. May that be the witness of Christ in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.